Come all ye sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever.
Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. let God his Son not spare me. Sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. Had on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sinks my soul.
See you here this morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so glad to see you this morning. We have some people here for a baptism we're going to have at the end of the service. We have some family members that have come in, and so we welcome you guys. Most of you have been here before, but we're glad you're here. If there's a first-time visitor amongst us, one of our ushers will get by there and give you a visitor's packet. We just want to welcome you, and if there's a card in that packet, we just ask you to fill that out and just leave it laying in your pew or drop it in the offering plate on your way out after the services. But we thank you for spending time with us this morning. Going to have a good day. We already had a good Sunday school hour, and look forward to a good worship hour together. So let's open it up right by seeking God in prayer. And Clay, I'll ask you to lead us, please.
Man, thank you. Maybe seat.
Thank you.
Join me in a word of prayer, please. Lord, we love you today. And God, we're grateful for Calvary. God, our desire is that everyone has come to the foot of the cross and they've had their sins forgiven. God, I pray if there's one here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. God, I pray that you'd be with our nation. I pray that you'd begin a revival. I pray that there would be a turning back to you in wholeness. I pray that you'd be with our preacher as he comes in just a few moments and takes the word of God and preaches a message that you've put upon his heart. And God, I pray that you'd help us to realize that even though it's coming from the lips of a human, it's coming from you. It's your word and it's your message. And not only do we need to just listen, but we need to heed and we need to apply it to our lives. God, I pray that you'd draw us closer to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
To breathe the air of heaven, the day is strong and mercy fills the streets. To look upon the one who bent to save me and walk with him for all eternity. Be a day sing through doubt and fear. In the end, we'll see that it was worth it when He returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day. To face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And on that day, we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever He shall reign. So let
thank you, Lord God, for bringing us together, Lord, this morning in your house. And we count it a privilege, Lord, to call upon your name. And we know, Father, that you hear our prayers. Lord, that through your Son, Jesus, Lord, we're received into your presence, Lord. And we can talk to you like a father. And, Lord, we can seek you. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that over the next few moments, that's exactly what we'll do, is that we'll seek you. That we'll open our hearts, we'll open our minds, and we will be attentive to what you tell us. And Father, we know that the Lord's Day is a special day, Lord. It's a day of honoring you. It's a day of rest. It's a day of worship. But Lord, we want to make it a day in the sense that we walk out of here a different person, better servant of yours, a day that things have changed in our life. Lord, there are so many people here, Lord, that are so faithful, and I just pray your blessings over their life. But there could be someone here, Lord, that belongs to you, that maybe is backslidden, maybe has drifted away from you, as we all have at times. Pray that you'll draw them closer to you, Lord, that they would return to where they know they should be and where you want them to be. Furthermore, Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, Lord, that they would truly realize the need for salvation today. Holy Spirit, please have your way in our services. Allow me to talk clearly. Allow me to think clearly and see my notes. Allow me to communicate the message that you've given me. Please bless Holy Spirit in the back as the children are being taught. And bless those that are in attendance and those who are teaching as well. And Father, we thank you for bringing us into your house this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30. The life that you and I live here on earth is full of choices. We've heard that said all of our life. We have so many choices to make. And I don't think any one of us would disagree with that statement. It's full of choices. You made several choices this morning before you even got to church. And you'll make several more throughout the day. And each day you'll do so. And I think we all realize that there are choices there, but I think too often we don't let that soak in. And we don't recognize that truth to the point that we would take a hard look and consider the choices we make. Put some thought to those. You see what I mean? How often do we really sit down and take a close look at the decisions that we're making? Just slow down a little bit and evaluate them and consider the effects that they may have on our life or on the lives of those around us. We really should do that, because the choices that we make to a great extent determine the quality of our life. They determine the effectiveness of our life. They determine the choices that we make impact those around us. And they're not just we're not just on an island that they affect us, but they affect our children. They affect our spouse. If we're a boss at work, they affect the people around us. If we're teachers in the church or preacher, whatever, it affects the church. And so our decisions and our choices have a wide umbrella of effects upon the world around us. So let me ask you this. Why is it that you can have two siblings, and I'm not thinking of any particular two siblings, okay, but hypothetically, you could have two siblings which are basically have the same makeup, but their lives have gone two total different directions. They have same upbringing, same education, same type looks, same talents, started out with the same opportunities, but yet one has experienced a great amount of success. They've prospered in life. They have a tremendous amount of influence. Their life has a positive effect on the people around them, and they really have a lot on the ball. And then on the other hand, the other person, the other sibling, is always broke, always living from hand to mouth. There's a trail of broken relationships in their life. They can't keep a job. The tail end of one problem just leads to the front end of another, and nothing ever comes together for them. What is the difference in the two? The answer to that is very easy. Choices. Choices. Choices have outcomes. Poor choices have poor outcomes. Good choices have good outcomes. Not to say that circumstances in our life can't come our way that are out of our control, that are not affected by our choices, because those things do come upon us, okay? But the general bent of our life is in relation to the decisions that we make. If a person makes good choices and handles adverse circumstances in the right way, then it'll come out with the best possible outcome. And so you take this person that is prone to make good choices, and they may come out of a cancer diagnosis better than the person that doesn't make good life choices, or tragedy or anything else. So I think you get my point by now that learning to make good choices, even if we just start right now, start today, will define our life. And so let's read our text. It's just one verse in chapter 30 of Deuteronomy. In verse 19, God is talking to his people through his servant Moses, and he says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed
may live. In the previous chapters, Moses had been speaking to God's people about their lives and how they lived their lives. And he had talked to them about their godly relations and their human relations. And that really covers all of our life. It's either a godly relation or it's a human relation that we have. And he discussed with them the various things that God expected of them. Then he essentially just declares to them that the results that they experience in life are going to be in measure to whether they obeyed or disobeyed God in those things that he had taught them. And then he sums it up with the verse that we just read. He says, hey, you have two options. You make the choice. Life and blessing, death and cursing. So let's do this. David got this board up here for me. Let's get this in a safe place here. Right there. Okay, we're good. One side, we have life and blessing. The other side, we have death and cursing. I want to add a little bit to that, okay? Let's go across the page to verse 15, same chapter. And Moses says this, or God says to his people through Moses, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. So we're going to add good right here. And we're going to add evil right here. So we have three things on each side. Life, blessing, and good. Death, cursing, and evil. That verse just tells us that there's two results of life. There's two outcomes. And it's not hard for you and I to make a choice or identify which list we would want for ourselves. Obviously, we would all want this particular list for ourselves. But the hard part comes in everyday life, making that happen. That's when the difficulty comes in. It's not complicated. It's not a mystery. It's not something that's out of reach. But God has just laid it out there for us. We just have to do one thing. Choose rightly. He says there in verse 19, choose life. That's our job, is to just make the right choices. It all boils down to what you and I, the everyday decisions and choices that we make. And it's not the choices of others. Other people's choices affect us. But other people's choices are not what's going to define our life. It's our own choices. So let's do this. Now, we're all just a little bit skinnier this morning than we normally are. And let's put this. Me. That's me. You say that. That's me, okay? And on each side of us is an outcome. You see, I can't make your choices for you. And you can't make my choices for me. I can't determine your outcome, and you can't determine my outcome, okay? But before we move forward, let me just say this one thing. There's no more important choice that you and I can make in our life than to accept Jesus, okay? That's a gimme. That's the single most important choice in life. To choose Jesus is to have eternal life. To reject Jesus is to experience eternal damnation, okay? The Bible's very clear on that. So that must be understood from the start. But once we have accepted the Lord, and we're born again Christians, though our eternal outcome is already determined, still our everyday practical lives are going to hinge on choices. Now let me make another qualifying remark before we get to the meat of the message. God's word gives us the direction that we need on how to make those choices. God's word will lay it out there and give us the principles and the laws of God and the things that we need to understand in order to make healthy choices. And so in reality, even though some things may not be totally black and white in life, there will be enough discernment gleaned from God's word that we'll know what choice is right to make, okay? And here's a mistake that many of us as God's children make. When it comes to some of the most difficult choices in our life, some of the most difficult issues, because the right choice is unpopular with the society around us, Or the right choice may cause us to be misunderstood by people, or may cost us something. Because of that, sometimes we don't choose at all. We just kind of. Well, I'm going to table that for now. I'm going to look at that later. I'm going to leave that alone altogether. And we don't make a choice, and we think that's okay. But that's not okay. God says choose. And so we'll do this right here. Choices, right there. Now, you'll notice that I am, or you are, sometimes straddling the choices. I don't know how many fences you've sat on, but the most uncomfortable way to sit on a fence is to straddle it, okay? It just doesn't feel well, okay? It doesn't work out good, okay? And so we straddle sometimes the choices. We just don't want to go, I don't know if I do this, but then if I do this, and so we just don't make any choice at all. That's not God honoring. It's things with God. His ways are cut and dry. They're not up in the air with Him. They're not just, well, we'll see when we get there kind of deal. It's settled with God, and it's declared in His Word, and He wants it to be settled with us as well. Another common mistake that is made amongst Christians is to say, oh, well, it's too late. I've already messed up my life. What difference does it make now? Now, folks, that's baloney. Pass the bread. Let's make a sandwich. The bologna's already been served. That's baloney. It's never too late to show God that we're going to honor Him with our choices. We may have a life full of bad choices behind us, but we can start making choices right now that will honor God. And though these right choices that we make now may not be able to go back and correct all the negative circumstances from our past, it might not be. But God is bigger than circumstances, and so we can improve and strengthen our relationship with God right now by making the choices that are right before Him right now, okay? So you and I can have hope this morning, because something we all have in common is we can leave here with the determination to make the right choices one by one, and our life, the course of our life, can be changed because of that. If you choose certain things, you're going to get certain outcomes. Same with me. And by the way, this message is an introduction, okay? My plans are, my desires are, going forward in the weeks ahead, is to touch on certain choices. There's lots of choices in life, okay? But some major choices that you and I make in life that are key to framing our life and determining the course of our life. For instance, forgiveness. We must choose to forgive as opposed to unforgiveness, okay? It's vital to how our life turns out. Love. We must choose to love. In the time and when our country is so polarized, there's no more important thing for you and I to do than to choose love. The video was great, David. Thank you. I don't know what he's going to put up there, but that was fantastic. We need to choose love in the ways and the attitudes of God over the rhetoric and the hate and the division and all the junk that's going on in the world around us. We have to choose to give. We can either be takers or we can be givers. But what we choose out of those two is going to determine the course of our life, our possessions, our resources, what we have. We have to learn to serve. That's an essential and vital part of our walk with Jesus. We have to choose to obey or not to obey. All of these choices, these are things that are going to affect the course of our life. In fact, the two outcomes that we see here, life, blessing, and good, or death, cursing, and evil, God gave them that day, and He did it really and truly based on the obedience or disobedience of the things that He had told them over the last several chapters. Notice verse 8. He says, "And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day." So these are some of the things that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks, perhaps, however, maybe just be a week. I don't know. I never know ahead of time. But we'll study and see where we end up. But for the next few moments, I just want to leave you with two examples, two men with two different outcomes of life. One was a great success and one was an utter failure, despite the fact that the one who failed actually had a better start than the other. He was afforded more advantages, more opportunities, just got a better start than the other, but he went down the wrong path. And the two men that I'm talking about are the Old Testament characters of Saul and David. Each of them at one time were kings in Israel, but they had two different total outcomes of their reign as king and as their life results, okay? David turned out to be the greatest king of all times, a man after God's own heart. Saul was inducted into the Hall of Shame. Two different outcomes. And it boiled down to the choices that they made. Circumstances had very little to do with it in shaping their future. It was the choices. The hand that was dealt them did not determine their success or failure. It was how they played the hand that was dealt them that determined their future, okay? So I'll just read you this verse. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 2, and we're going to look at Saul first of all, okay? And the Bible says in verse 2, and he had a son, he's talking about Kish, had a son whose name was Saul. What's this? He had a great start. He was a choice young man and goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than him. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. So Saul was tall, he was handsome, he was a natural born leader, he was handed the crown. He was handed the position just suddenly, just it was thrust upon him, the position of being the king of Israel, God's chosen people. And so he was put in this position, he was immediately followed by all of the people. They were so excited about him. They were behind him. He had full support. He had the resources. The money was not an issue. Everything that was needed was provided there for him to utilize in his leadership. And all of everything was at his fingertips. But when it was all over and the hay was in the barn, he was an utter failure. An utter failure. His life as king was dysfunctional. His walk with God, God had to withdraw from him and just stay away from him because of his disobedience. He became, over time, emotionally unstable, irrational, paranoid, and it was all the result of the decisions and the choices that he made. He had it all laid before him. He had a good start. But one by one, he made poor choices. His decisions were selfish. They were not in line with what God wanted and God's word. He wanted to do things his own way and not the Lord's. And when Samuel, the man of God, came to him and confronted him and tried to help him see the error of his ways, all he did was just make excuses and try to justify his behavior instead of making corrections. And folks, God will help us with our past mistakes. God is merciful and He forgives and He gives second chances. So when we are confronted with our poor choices and we're confronted with the course of our life and the direction that it's going by mom, dad, Sunday school teacher, preacher, best friend, whatever, if we will listen and we will say, I recognize what you're saying, and we will correct that and repent of that, God's ready to just move on from there. That's the God we serve. But Saul wouldn't do that. He was headstrong. He just made excuses and dismissed his mistakes and justified them. So what did he end up with? He ended up with death, cursing, and evil. That was a result of his life. This guy who was the king of the greatest nation on earth, handed to him, good looking, talented, had everything going, ended up with this. This guy made choices that resulted in this. He ended up with cursing. God came to him through Samuel and told him, now thy kingdom shall not continue. In other words, God says, I will not bless what you're doing anymore. You can wear the crown all you want. You can go back to the palace all you want. You can sit on the throne, surround yourself with all your officials all you want, but my blessings are not on your reign anymore. You see, that was the cursing that he experienced. He experienced evil. As his life progressed, he found himself doing things that were so far away from God. He even resulted in the very latter parts of his life of going to a witch, a spiritual medium, in desperate attempt to find answers to the problems that his choices had created. You would think he'd be going to God, right? No, he had resorted to the evil of going to a witch. So, you got evil. Then, death was his end. You say, well, death is everybody's end. Yeah, everybody's going to die one way or another. But Saul died prematurely at the hands of his enemies, the Philistines. And it wasn't just how he died, but it was the shame involved with his death. His body was taken and it was dragged throughout the region. The Philistines just took him from here, there, and yonder, took his body, just saying, look what we've done to the king of Israel. And then ultimately they hung it upon a wall in Bethshan. It was just a disgrace. You see, death and cursing and evil are always a disgrace. So let me quickly tell you about his counterpart. David. David just started out as a shepherd boy. Nothing big, nothing fancy, no high education. He was the youngest of 8 sons of Jesse. The youngest. He was the runt of the litter, so to speak. All his brothers were out serving in the military, most of them, and making a name for himself. And David was left with those little old sheep. He didn't have a great start. Nothing was particularly promising about him. But God saw his heart early on. He was a godly young man. He was an obedient young man. He tried to live his life purely before God. And so after God finally rejected Saul's reign, God cursed it. God says, I want this little fella. I want David to be my next king. Now, not everybody knew that, but he told Samuel and he told some others and he told David that you're going to be my king, okay? Well, everything didn't fall into place for him all at once. It was years before he got to put the crown on. And during those years, he was the target of Saul's hatred and jealousy. And he lived on the run. He was running for his life for many years of his life. But he still, during those times, made right choices. He refused to hate. He refused to let unforgiveness plague him. He refused to be selfish. He said, I'm going to do things right in God's eyes regardless of what's happening around me. His choices were pure. So after years of these trials, when Saul finally died on the battlefield, David finally gets to become king. Okay, he didn't have a real good start yet. But he was chosen by God and he was honoring God. So he becomes king. Even then, the greater part of the people rejected him. Not all of Israel and Judah accepted him as king. He just had the support of really probably less than 50% support. It would take time for him to establish his reign and get all the support of the people. But again, during that time, well, he's the king now. He can do something about people that don't support him, right? But during that time, he chose to love. He chose to forgive. He chose generosity, service, obedience. He chose to honor God. And so because of that, his reign was a huge success. Life, blessing, and good. His life in a general, besides his reign, there was mistakes. He made some horrible mistakes, and two of which were just proved to be major errors. But even then, he quickly repented of those mistakes and honored God and took full responsibility. So God says, we're going to move on. And so those mistakes, though they did impact his life and bring some adverse circumstances, they did not define the remainder of his life. He continued to be the king and continued to have success, not without setback, but success. Now let me ask you, here's King Saul today. Here's King David today. When you read your Bibles, that's where those two men ended up. Which one would you want to emulate? I think we all know the one on the left, King David. Until this day, David is known as the greatest king of Israel and a man after God's own heart. Which life would you choose for yourself? Obviously, you say David's, the one on the left. You know who it's up to? This guy right here in the middle. Me and you. This guy is going to determine where this, which outcome we have. Life blessing or good, or death cursing or evil. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. As we proceed over the next few weeks, and again, don't have any idea exactly all the length of those messages, but we're going to deal with things like forgiveness and love and obedience and in these service and giving and all of these things. Would you be willing to, starting today, to have an open mind before God and say, God, where are my choices and my decisions out of line with you and your word? And when God points those things out to you, would you be willing to correct them? You're going to be put on a different course when you make corrections of your choices, and so am I. And all of us have room to improve upon our decisions and choices. Would you be willing to be honest before God and yourself over the next few weeks and say, God, I want you to set the course of my life by helping me make proper decisions and choices. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God's spoken to your heart. You can come to this altar. If you have any other reason you would like to come to this altar, please do. God's spoken to you. You come.
Sorrow we share.